name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We pray God's blessings on our time together today. Our service, our hymns, everything is about God's gift of the forgiveness of sins. We pray that He would richly bless us as we hear His word, receive His gifts, and are reminded once again of the most important thing in the church, God's gift of forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ. Our opening hymn, number 533, Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Pastor, do you want to, the propers are on the inside, readings are on the back, brief outline on the edge, and I'm going to have Pastor Moline explain. We've done this before, but I want to have him explain how the introit and the choir and all these things are going to work.
Yeah, if you'll notice in your bulletin there for the introit, there's a part that's italicized. That part the choir will sing, and then we'll join in with the regular font and sing the rest of it all the way through. And then the gradual actually is a part of our evening prayer service, and so we'll sing it as it is in the evening prayer service, and you can find that on page 245. It's a really pretty piece, one that we probably don't sing enough. We ought to learn a little more, and so this is a good opportunity for us to do that. And then the Alleluia, instead of the one that's listed in Divine Service Setting 3, we'll make sure we sing the one on page 952 towards the back of your hymnal. If you put a ribbon there, that will help mark it when we get to that point. But that's what we'll do for the Alleluia also. And then you'll notice the choir will sing verse 1 of our hymn of the day, and we'll join in for verses 2 and 3, one of my very favorite hymns, that one. So we'll make sure we sing it that way.
And we'll do our best to make sure that we announce that and we're on the right page at the right time, especially for that Alleluia, so that doesn't catch us off guard. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings of Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house, to hear that word applied to us in a very personal and specific way. Heavenly Father, our guilt, our shame, our past, our worry about the future, these things are always with us. We can explain it away, we can pretend it doesn't exist, or we can tackle it head on. That's exactly what Christ has done for us. His life, His death, His resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins. Give us hearts, minds, lives that cling to this gift in faith each and every day. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 533.
Divine Service Setting 3, page 184, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This time we sing together the introit as it's listed in the insert.
Save to my soul, I am your salvation. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together our gradual as found on page 245 of your hymnal.
Thank you.
epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel and the Alleluia, which we will sing on page 952. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their hearts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten. Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men please be seated as we sing our hymn of the day, 708, Love with All My Heart. The choir will sing verse 1. The congregation and choir sing together verses 2 and 3. Hymn 708.
grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Text for our meditation today, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago, Matthew 9, 1 to 8, especially these words. And he rose and went home. The crowd saw it. They were afraid. And they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what were they expecting? We have friends, a paralyzed man. We know from the other gospel accounts, they worked really, really, really hard to get this paralyzed friend in front of Jesus. They couldn't get through the crowds. They crawled up on the roof. They dug a hole in the roof. They lowered the man right down in front of Jesus. What do you think these friends were expecting Jesus to do? What do you think these friends were expecting Jesus to say? What do you think the paralyzed man was expecting? What do you think the paralyzed man was expecting Jesus to say? Well, whatever their expectations were, this is what Jesus said. Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. You think maybe, just maybe, there was a little bit of disappointment when they heard those words out of Jesus' mouth? My friends, what were they expecting? They were expecting a miracle. They were expecting physical healing. They had heard about Jesus. Maybe they had witnessed Jesus do it before. They knew that this Jesus was special. They brought their man to Jesus because they loved their friend. They brought him to Jesus and they expected a miracle. And Jesus, in a sense, disappoints. At least at first. Rather than healing the man's paralysis, he forgives his sins. The forgiveness of sins. We talk about it a lot in church, don't we? Sing about it a lot. God's Word talks about it a lot. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. So, do we? Do we believe in the forgiveness of sins? I'm not talking about a doctrine on a piece of paper. I'm not talking about something in the abstract that's out there, the general concept of forgiveness. I'm talking about the forgiveness of sins. You see, many people pay lip service to the forgiveness of sins, but they don't, or they can't believe that their sins are forgiven. Many people pay lip service to the forgiveness of sins, but when it comes to forgiving someone else, no way. Not going to happen. My friends, the forgiveness of sins is very personal. There is no such thing as corporate guilt. It doesn't exist. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk that way. Our sin is personal. The forgiveness of sins is personal. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of his father, nor the father bear the guilt of his son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Personal sin entails personal responsibility and requires personal forgiveness. That is the only way for a sinner to be set free. We are bound because the wages of sin is death. The evidence of sin, it's everywhere. In our text, we see that there is a man who is paralyzed. Why is he paralyzed? Because of sin. I'm not talking about his specific sin, but sin in general. There is no sickness. There is no paralysis. There is no cancer. There is no heart disease. There is no COVID-19 apart from sin. The fact that sin is in this world means that the consequences of sin are in this world. Go ahead. Try and deal with it yourself. And you'll fail miserably. It can't be done. The evidence of sin is everywhere, both then and now. If that were the end of the story, not only would it be a short sermon, but it would be a very miserable sermon as well. We're all sinners. We're all going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. While we can agree with that statement, that cannot be the end of the story. While the evidence of sin is all around, the evidence of the authority of Jesus Christ is everywhere in our text as well. You heard those words. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. What did Jesus do? Jesus forgave the man's sins. We don't know whether they were disappointed or not. The text doesn't tell us. We can only imagine how we might have felt in that same situation. Jesus demonstrates his authority because the scribes and the scholars were thinking in their minds and their hearts, Jesus was blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. How did Jesus know that they were having these evil thoughts about him? He could read their hearts. He has authority. He is God in the flesh. The evidence of the authority of Jesus does not stop there. Jesus hears and knows and reads their thoughts. He gives almost a riddle-like phrase. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or take up your mat and walk? Well, of course it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Because nobody knows for sure whether it has happened. They are just words. I can tell you, you're going to win the lottery today. Is there any authority behind that? Of course not. I can tell you, the Huskers are going to have a major upset next Saturday at Ohio State. I guarantee it. There's no authority behind those words. It might be a hope, a wish, a dream, pipe dream probably, but there's no power and authority behind those words. Jesus not only says to the man, your sins are forgiven, but to show that he is no charlatan, to show that he is no liar, to show that he is who he claims to be, God in the flesh. He says, rise, pick up your mat. And immediately the man is healed. The people were amazed. The people were afraid. Afraid? Yes, they were filled with awe because God was in their midst. God had given authority for the forgiveness of sins to this God-man, Jesus. Jesus earns the forgiveness of sins by his perfect life, placing himself under the law, by his obedient death, dying the death we deserve, paying our price, our penalty. Jesus rises from the dead, never to die again. Jesus attaches his Good Friday and Easter forgiveness to the waters of holy baptism. You heard that in our epistle reading for today. Put off the old self. Put on the new self. Be who you are in Christ Jesus, robed with the robe of righteousness, covering over all of your sins. Jesus attaches Good Friday and Easter to the words of your pastor when he forgives your sins. John 20, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. He attaches Good Friday and Easter to bread and wine in the Holy Supper. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has earned the forgiveness of sins. By the authority of Jesus, who has conquered sin, death, and hell, he has attached the forgiveness of sins to water, bread, wine, words. That should settle the matter, right? Jesus says it. That's it. It's over. Well, unfortunately, it's not over. We look across our world. We look at what has happened in some sections of the Christian church. The forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus and distributed as Jesus has promised and commanded is ignored, it is denied, and it is despised. Why? Because some people think they have better words than Jesus. Some people think that their mind, their hearts, their emotions, their feelings, and their words have more authority than the Son of God. Shouldn't surprise us. God's word teaches us that this is who we are by nature. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? My friends, when we rely on our heart, our feelings, our emotions, our words, rather than the word of God, we will always get ourselves in trouble, and we too will either doubt or deny or despise or ignore the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus and freely distributed. There are three main false teachings with regard to the forgiveness of sins. Oh, there's many more than three, but three that kind of rise to the top. The first one, probably the most prevalent one today, is that there really is no such thing as sin. Maybe along with Bob Ross, our mistakes are just happy accidents. People go to great lengths to say that there is no such thing as sin. Sin is no longer important, a relic of a bygone era. Sin is no longer relevant to our current situation. Sin's no longer a threat. Oh, you still believe that old-fashioned Bible religion, that God is a threatening God, that you should be afraid of the wrath of God? God is love. God is love. He could never punish. God is love. And a false understanding of love that detaches Jesus from the cross is peddled as the gospel. If there is no sin, then you need no Savior. You can go about your life trying to better yourself according to whatever 5, 10, 20 step program you want. It's about moral improvement. It's about therapeutic feel-goodism. The forgiveness of sins is nowhere to be found. A second major false teaching with regard to the forgiveness of sins, we hear it still today, maybe not as prevalent as it was a few years ago, or at the time of the Reformation, but it is still here. Words cannot forgive sins. A man cannot forgive sins. I can't tell you how many times in the 24 years that I've been here at Good Shepherd that I've either received an anonymous note or been cornered in the narthex or the parking lot. Comment is, who do you Lutherans think you are? Pastors think you are? Standing up there in front of the church, forgiving sins. Do you think you're God? Accusing pastors of blasphemy. My friends, your pastor is no God. Your pastor is certainly no angel. Your pastor is a poor, miserable sinner who has been called and placed in this place for one reason, so that you would know your sins are forgiven, to preach it into your ears, to administer it in the sacraments that God has freely given, and to assure you by speaking the words of holy absolution that without a doubt, with no strings attached, you are forgiven. This is God's design, not a power trip by pastors. These are God's words spoken through the lips of your pastor. Much like the same way that God spoke through Balaam's donkey. The third major false teaching with regard to the forgiveness of sins is that you can never really be sure that your sins are forgiven. It's up to you. Jesus has done his part. Oh, yes. Jesus has lived. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. The forgiveness of sins is there. But the only way you can be sure, the only way you can be certain, is by something you do, a decision you make, a prayer you pray, a donation you give, some sort of payback to the person you've hurt. Your forgiveness is conditional. There are strings attached. And maybe someone in the church, maybe someone in your family, maybe something in your heart determines what those strings are. My friends, our God is not a God of doubt. Our God is a God of certainty. In the same way that you can be certain, sure and certain, that Jesus, God in the flesh, died on Calvary's cross, in the same way that you can be certain, absolutely sure, that Jesus, God in the flesh, rose from the dead at first Easter morning. On the same way that you can be certain that Jesus, crucified and risen for you, forgiveness of sins. God does not want you to be doubt. God wants you to be sure and certain that your sins are forgiven. All of them. All of them. And if someone wants to hold you hostage because of something that you have done in the past, if someone wants to hold you hostage, hold it over your head because they know this deep, dark secret about you. If somebody wants to talk forgiveness but will never forgive, no, they are agents of Satan and not agents of God. God wants you to be sure and certain that you are forgiven, full and free, no strings attached. Friend, these three must go together. This is God's design for the church. This is God's design for you and your peace of heart and peace of mind and peace of conscience. One, the vicarious satisfaction of... Sounds like a big fancy word, right? Vicar means substitute. The substitutionary of Jesus. Jesus is your substitute. Jesus died in your place. Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. This victorious, vicarious satisfaction of Jesus is revealed to us in the Bible, in the Word of God, where God continually teaches us while we are sinners, Christ died for us, that while we continue to sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, knows no limit, knows no bound, and is for you. And my friends, the Bible, the Word of God, also reveals to us that the faith that we need to receive the forgiveness of sins is indeed God, the Holy Spirit, working through word and sacrament to bring us to faith and to keep us, to sustain us in the faith. How does he do it? By hearing, by believing, by eating and drinking the forgiveness of sins. My friends, this is God's gift to you. Don't ignore it. Don't deny it. Cling to it with all your life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. We sing the offertory, page 192. Please stand.
Service continues with the prayers of the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given your church the authority on earth to forgive sins. Grant that we may always rejoice to receive the forgiveness announced and delivered by those men who have been called and ordained to serve in Christ's stead and by his command. And having been forgiven, give us hearts that are quick to forgive each other as well. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, our Savior, sent forth his church to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news of salvation in him. Continue to send workers into your vineyard, and give us willing and generous hearts to support the preaching of your word in our community and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you blessed Jacob with offspring as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give comfort to those who long for children but are unable to conceive. May they find in the church a family to love and to cherish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you rescued us from our fallen condition and adopted us as your own children. Guide those who are seeking to adopt children of their own, that they may be a model of your love, and give them patience and endurance as they work through the adoption process. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we beg you, grant wisdom to all of those who you have placed in temporal authority over us, both in this country and throughout the world. Renew their diligence that they would use their offices to serve their fellow citizens with justice and compassion, and be with our nation that it may continue in peace even through this election season. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, as the paralytic was brought to your Son, Jesus, so too do we bring before you in prayer all those suffering in any physical or mental anguish, especially those in our own midst, including Barb, Jared, Adeline, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, Daryl, Mildred, Jim, Lynn, Mark, Char, Andrea, Lynette, and all others whom we name in our hearts. According to your will, grant them healing in this life and give them faithful friends who will proclaim them to them the forgiveness of their sins, so that they would face the trials of this life confident in your love for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, comfort all of those who mourn the loss of loved ones, that they might find hope in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Be with the family of Daryl Travis, who received Christian burial from our congregation this past Friday. Comfort them, give them peace, and help them to stay in the one true faith, trusting in your Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
How awesome is this place, O God, for here we receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation given to us in the Holy Supper of your Son's very body and blood. Fill us with his life and love, that we would return to our homes in joy and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Whatever else you know that we need, or that you know would be good for us, we entrust your bountiful providence, for you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is indeed and right unto you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we
forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat,
This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome to the Lord's table. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Lord's table. The body of Christ given for you. 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 Welcome to the Lord's table.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing together the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing the common doxology.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who brings the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God. A couple of quick announcements. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, please make sure you grab a set on the way out. We had a little confusion about the dating and the dates on top of the news and notes. Hopefully we have that cleared up so you realize that you're getting this week's and not last week's, all that kind of stuff. So we have a very short voters meeting as soon as we're out of here in the fellowship hall right before Bible study. Was 3 months ago at our last voters meeting, we decided to ask all of the current people who were serving on boards to serve another 90 days. We'd postpone the elections. We have election of officers. We got a nearly full ballot, so we'll take care of that right off the bat. You're invited for coffee and Bible study in the fellowship hall. Tables are all spaced out, and you know the routine hopefully by now. Kids in here singing and practicing with the children's choir and Sunday school opening and all that. And by the time they join Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, I'm sure we'll be done with our voters assembly thing as well. Elders met this last Tuesday night, and two things that I want to give you a preemptive strike on. With COVID and concern about how many people are in buildings and all that kind of stuff, for Christmas Eve, we are going to add a third service. We've had Christmas Eve services at 4 and 7 for, I don't know, years or so. We're going to be adding a third service at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. So Christmas Eve, 1, 4, and 7. And normally the 4 o'clock service is the most attended. So if you're concerned about that, shift to one of the other two. And we pray that God would bless that. Since the pandemic started, every Sunday, every Wednesday, we've been offering the Lord's Supper. People are attending worship a little more sporadically. We didn't want them to come to church and then miss out on Holy Communion. On Wednesday, December 23 minus 7, 16, the third Wednesday in Advent, that will be our Christmas program, and the Christmas program is going to be mostly kids singing hymns and parts of the service. It will be a Vesper service with the kids being major players in that, and I want to give you that heads up. No Lord's Supper with the Vespers, but we're looking forward to that. And the more kids that we can get to participate, our primary practice is in that choir time, that Sunday school opening time on Sunday mornings. We had a blood drive on Friday. Went great. I don't know where Adam went. Went great. Adam, went great? Yes. So thanks to everybody that helped with that. Pastor, anything else?
This evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have college Bible study at the Nebraska District Office in Seward, and so that's as normal. And then also the last Thursday of this month, we'll also begin our Lifelight Bible study at 1 o'clock on Thursdays again, and that will meet in the Fellowship Hall, a little bit different location, but we'll pick up right where we left off, beginning the book of Jude, and so it'll be the same books, but if you've gone to that and are interested again, we'll do that starting the last Thursday of this month.
Okay. Well, the ushers or elders will dismiss you from the back to the front. If you're going for coffee, Bible study, Sunday school time, go straight in there. It's not quite as pleasant outside to stand around and visit. So if you're doing that kind of thing, just be sensitive of everybody's space. And may God bless us with the forgiveness of sins.